in the assembly meeting at Guthrie, Oklahoma, in 1958, Brother Dryas Gibson brought a message one morning on the subject of the New Jerusalem. We will play parts of that message.
There's been such a good amount of young folks I've heard been saved since this meeting has started, and I didn't get to see it or anything like that, but I do appreciate everyone that has made their start. And I feel like that many times in starting out, it may be that way, as same as it was with me. There was times in my life that when I started out, I didn't have no one to instruct and hardly no one to teach or anything. So I believe that when I started out with all my heart, I was saved. I was satisfied. I had no doubts in my mind. I was just as satisfied as could be that I was fully saved. But after I went on a while, sometimes people would show me things in my life and tell me things in my life that I was doing that I was guilty of. And I had to fight discouragement awful hard, keep from thinking that letting the devil think I wasn't saved at all just because I was guilty of something. I thought when I got saved, everything ought to be, I was saved from everything that is wrong. Well, I was. A man or woman that's saved, they're saved from all their sins. They're saved from all pride, all of that. When they're saved from all of it. But I didn't realize that it depends on just not only a thing of being killed in one's life, but it means something for light to come to show you that it is killed, so that you know then to stop it. And I saw things in my life that it hurried me to keep from fighting, fight off discouragement, because I thought, well, I was saved. What's the reason I didn't quit that and all of that? But if we got it all and was measured up all to start with, there wouldn't be no room for walking. There wouldn't be no room for walking if we had it all to start with. And so it's like a young man one time when I was riding the bus. I rode away and he says, come over and sit down by me. And when he sat down, he says, I've been watching you for quite a while. And he says, I believe you're a Christian. He says, now when I got saved too. And he says, I don't know what's right and I don't know what's wrong. He says, I don't know what to do every time. And he says, I thought maybe you could help me out. He says, now when I got saved, I was happy. I felt good. I knew I was saved. But he says, I was smoking, and he said I was going to the shows, and I was doing this and doing that, and some things he says I kept on doing because he says I didn't know that it was wrong. Well, I didn't keep him from still being saved. It's life that comes in. There's got to be light on these things for us to know. And so he says, I didn't know, and so what I want to know is this. He says, when I see, I know I'm saved, but he says, when I see according to the Bible and get it and hear it and understand that this is wrong, then I go to working at that and I try to go to laying and I just fight that till I lay it aside. Then he says, the next thing I see that I find in the Bible, this is wrong and that's wrong, then I put forth a great effort and I go to fighting that until I conquer, get victory over that, and I lay that aside. Well, and I said, is that the way you do it? Yes, I said, that's what you call walking in the light. Measuring up as you go. And so I find out it's wonderful to keep measuring to all the truth. It's the same with divine healing. I've been bad off, I guess, as low as anyone could get in life, and yet still live. And I know when the Lord touched my body and healed me and gave me a definite touch of my ulcers when I was bad off, so I stretched out on the floor, turned cold, I knew that I was the God of heaven had come to my rescue. I knew that prayer was heard. I accepted it. I claimed it. But I didn't feel no healing virtue in me. I never felt that. I just stepped out and claimed it because I know God's word is so, and I accepted it as my healing. Well, I still felt the burning in my stomach. I still felt that. I had to have time to let God work. And it's the same way in the saving, in the Christian life. God has got to have time to work you and I out. Got to have time. Now, found in Isaiah 65 and 17, I was glad for that subject last night, or last night on Brother Pope brought forth on the church and his wife. Somehow it always gets something, a feeling stirring in my heart when I hear something on the church, when I hear something on Zion, when I hear something like that. Why, there's something about it somehow. It gets next to me because it's a talking about my home.
Amen.
It's my home. That's where I live. It's my dwelling place. It's my place, and when they go talking about that, it gets my attention. Now, I want us to notice over here in Isaiah 65, and I believe the 17th verse, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying." I've heard quite a bit about that, similar on that text, on that scripture. Some will take it that means that that's going to be a wonderful place when the thousand years reign begins. And when it's all started, that's going to be a wonderful city, a beautiful city, all come down where it'll all be happiness, it'll all be joy, all be rejoicing together, and they'll all agree together and all get along together. Well, as far as the city is concerned, that would be awful good. That would be awful nice. Then I've heard some say that that's speaking of heaven above, that that's where God is preparing a home above, that where he's going to have all of that, it's going to be happy over there. Going to be a wonderful place. Well, that will be good too if it was over there. That's still good. I rejoice in that. But I want to say, this city, wherever it is, whether it was to be in heaven or whether to be in the thousand years reign, wherever it's to be, it's one beautiful city. It's a beautiful city. It's a wonderful city. It's where control is had. It's where joy is. It's where tears are wiped away. It's a new city. New Jerusalem. And he says in what he's going to create that it was a rejoicing, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And folks, I want to say I cannot myself place that into a 1,000 years reign, because there will be no 1,000 years reign. And I cannot place that over in heaven above, because that's closer to us than that. And so the only place I know to place that scripture is right here in this present life.
Amen.
And it is not speaking about the heaven above. It's not speaking about the city that's to be in 1,000 years reign. But it's speaking about New Jerusalem, which is the church of God. You know, it seems to me like anymore the devil is trying to cover up the church of God. There is people I find right among us and with us and hear the truth from time to time, day after day, and often as it's been heard and preached on, it seems like there is many that still does not see the real church of God.
Yeah, that's true, though.
It is sad. It's sad. There's a lot that don't see it. Now, you know, some may say, well, I see it, but by actions and ways and conversations, many don't see it. Now, I remember reading over there where Jesus was standing right there with a woman at the well, and she was looking at him, and he was looking at her, and he said, while he talked to her, I don't know how long, after a while she says, well, when Messiah cometh, he'll just tell us all things. He'll really tell us some things. Well, Messiah was standing right there looking her in the face, looking right at her, and she didn't know that. The church of God is a city set on a hill, shining out right today, in the mid, right here in this world, and many don't see it. Well, I think of it one time, there are like some people that say, I don't see how it can be done. Some things I can't get to work right. Some things I just can't do, and I cannot do that. And I cannot give this up, and I cannot give the other up. And it's hard to get it done. They said, I don't see how I could live that life without spot and without blame and all of that. Well, it makes me think of a illustration I know of that some young men did. It wasn't an experience, rather, but it's kind of not as good an illustration as I'd like, but it'll carry out what I'd like to say. And them young men, grown, they had an old car. And I believe it was a Plymouth. But the motor was wore down, wore out about. They couldn't get it to go. They'd worked on it, they'd fixed it, and they'd worked. And finally, they couldn't get it, the hands on there. The gauge hand. Now, you keep track of this. The gauge hands, the speedometer, the gas gauge, the heater gauge, none of it would work. Work right, because the motor didn't work, wasn't working. And finally the pump, when it had quit, the pump would quit working. The generator wouldn't work. They couldn't get this. When they would get it finally hit some, it just kind of go a jerking and jumping like. They had a time with that old car. They had quite a time working, trying to get that old car to go. The wheels wouldn't take them where they wanted it to take them to, because the motor wouldn't work. It wouldn't go here, it wouldn't go there. They couldn't get done what they wanted to do with that old car. It was a wore out Plymouth. The motor had just served its time. It was about done. And so finally those boys, they went to work, and they got a late model V8 Ford motor. How they got it in, I don't know, but they put it in that Plymouth. And they put it in there of a later, a new model. And they put it in that Plymouth, how they got it in and all. I don't know how they arranged that. But they said they got it in there, and when they put that model, that motor in there, the hands all went to working. They went to working right. The speedometer went to working. The generator went to working. The pump went to working. The fan went to going. They could turn the lights on. Everything would work all right. They put it in gear and it pulled in the road. They went, the wheels would take it where it wanted it to go. It went where they wanted it to go. But you really couldn't call up a Plymouth anymore. You couldn't hardly call it a Plymouth car, and you couldn't hardly call it a Ford car anymore. You couldn't hardly do that. And so it's the same way in this Christian life. So whatever, that old, that heart, when it won't work, when you can't get this done, when you cannot get that done and carry out what you want, folks, you need that new motor that comes down from above. Yeah, it'll change the hands. It'll get the hands to working right. It'll get everything working right. The feet will take you where God wants you to go. It'll all get to working good. But here's what it's got to be done over here in Ezekiel 36, I believe it is, and 25. Now they had to put a later model motor in that. The Plymouth motor was good in its time, but it had played out. And whenever they got that Ford motor in there, late model, everything went right to working. It just went to working, man, and carrying out. Well, now here it says in Ezekiel, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And a new heart also will I give you. Going to put something else in there new to change a man or woman around. Going to put a new heart in there. Now watch. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. I'll just give you a tender heart. I'll give you such a heart down in there that will cause these hands to work right. I'll just put a motor, as it were, in there that will do the work. And when he got that stony heart out of there and put a heart of flesh in there, folks, these ears wants to hear things that's good from there on out. They do. You don't have to force them. Don't have to make them. They just automatically want to hear things that's good. The eyes just automatically... Just